We've got Emily Rowland, John Hancock Investment Management Co-Chief Investment Strategist. And Emily, as Jared pointed out, it feels like we've seen some pretty big swings in the market this week, you know, partly on concerns about the Delta variant, where the pandemic's headed, but also around Fed speak and how quickly the tapering is likely to begin on asset purchases. We've got a big week coming up over in Jackson Hole. How do you think things are setting up on that front?
Yeah, absolutely. We learned from the Fed minutes this week that there was some chatter about potentially moving up the timeline for Fed tapering of asset purchases. And the Fed is certainly in a difficult position right now because we are seeing kind of dampened growth prospects here as the spread of the Delta variant starts to put pressure on some of the high frequency data that we look at. But at the same time, you're seeing inflationary pressures continue to build. So Jay Powell has been very resolute in his commitment to have his mandate fulfilled, have the job market healed. And he's been very consistent in his assessment of inflation as being transitory. So we do expect that to continue. We don't expect a lot of big surprises in Jackson Hole. We think tapering is potentially announced now at the September Fed meeting. It starts at the end of this year or into 2022. And then we start to see the Fed slowly raise rates potentially sometime in 2023. So the Fed is probably not going anywhere quickly here.
I want to get your take on the latest with the U.S. dollar, which has been strengthening recently. You take a look at what it's doing versus the euro. It's dropping to the lowest level since November. You can also take some of the baskets like the Dixie or the Bloomberg weighted index, and it's breaking. It's clearing some important levels here. I'm just wondering, if the dollar goes much higher, what does that do for the world and the economies therein?
Yeah, the dollar has been fluctuating quite a bit here in 2021, and we've seen some recent strength. We need to remember that oftentimes the dollar tends to strengthen in these risk-off periods, and that's really what we're seeing over the course of this week. We also see a multi-speed growth environment playing out where U.S. Economic growth is appearing to be the best if you look regionally across the globe. So that also can create a bid for U.S. dollars. And then finally, if you look around at central banks globally, the Fed, while still in ultra accommodative mode, is looking likely to be the first to taper and start to tighten monetary policy. So all three of those factors really here leading to a stronger dollar. And what that means from an investment standpoint is that it could put pressure on commodities. Certainly, you pointed to oil earlier in the discussion. We could continue to see pressure to the commodity complex. And it also might put pressure on U.S. investors who are invested overseas. So a stronger dollar, all else equal, should lead to a preference for U.S. equities, which is where we stand at John Hancock Investment Management.
And Emily, we kicked off the week with some weaker than expected data out of China, both on the retail front as well as the manufacturing front, which seems to raise concerns about just how resilient this recovery will be globally. How has that changed your thinking when you think about, one of the largest economies here is slowing down in their recovery and some of the headwinds that you're seeing there?
Sure. So coming into this quarter, we downgraded our view on emerging market equities. Of course, so goes China. So goes emerging market equities. It's almost 40% of the MSCI Emerging Markets Index. And what we saw was that growth was starting to roll over, still at elevated levels, but Chinese policymakers really stopped putting their foot on the gas as far as fiscal stimulus. So we started to see that credit impulse rolling over. We look at things like PMI data. We also saw China PMI starting to moderate, where the rest of the world was continuing to accelerate. So that was our reason for sort of downgrading our assessment of emerging market equities. And that was before this sort of regulatory onslaught began. So certainly seeing some challenges there. And our view is that China's role as the growth engine of the global economy is likely behind us here. And now it's up to other parts of the world to accelerate and to lead as far as that global economic growth backdrop goes.
So just a quick follow-up on that before we go. You're not seeing China as an imminent threat towards in terms of contagion with the rest of the world, the way they're handling the virus, or for that matter, the crackdown on some of those huge tech companies?
Yeah, we don't see the regulatory issues. We see those as being very specific to what's happening in China. But what you can see is that it's hard to have a commodity super cycle without China really leading the way as far as that growth engine goes, that demand for commodities. So we think that some of the weakness in demand there is going to start to show up in areas like commodity prices. So we would prefer to take our risk or our kind of play that reflation theme in other areas. For example, U.S. mid-cap equities, industrials in the U.S., rather than looking to emerging market equities to have that offense in a portfolio.
Emily Rowland, good to talk to you on this Friday. John Hancock, investment management co-chief investment strategist.